welcome to episode 123 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Eric Marzeski, Alan Olson.
Hello.
Back again.
Back again. Oh, lucky listeners.
The U.S. Solheim Cup team was victorious. Things were looking dicey for a while. On the final day in singles play, the U.S. team stormed back in a number of matches and pulled out a win, a 16-12 win, which included even Natalie Gobus having her match after, although that match was largely, her comeback came kind of after the cup was decided, so I'm not sure how much her competitor really felt like continuing to play because she was getting hammered. But they were tied 8-8 going into the final day, win 16-12 in the final score. Pretty much everyone played reasonably well on the U.S. team. Michelle Wee earned the most points, 3.5 out of the 4 matches she played, having one match and winning 3.
Yeah, I think that was probably, I don't think it's a big surprise. I mean, based solely on the talent that she has, but it was certainly nice to see her lead the team. And I think this is going to be a huge springboard for her for the rest of the LPGA season.
The American Cup, or the American team, of course, led by Kept Color veteran now, Paula Creamer. Every other player had some ups and downs, for the most part. Christina Kim paired with Michelle Wee and romped Saturday morning in the four ball, but then expressed interest in playing with Michelle again in the afternoon. She didn't play with Michelle. Captain Beth Daniel decided to put Christina Kim out with someone else, and they got their butts whipped. I was a little surprised at some of the tactical mistakes. It just struck me as Beth Daniel was trying to be too fair or something. You know, she said nobody would play all 5 matches because she wants everybody to play, you know, 3 or 4 because she doesn't want to worry about people being tired. And, you know, Paula Creamer is like 22, 23. Michelle Wee's 19. How tired are these people really going to get? The guys do it. They play longer courses. Why can't these girls do it? I mean, it just struck me as a little too warm and fuzzy and not quite the step on their throats kind of competition, you know, I'd like to see. I think the U.S. would have had a lead going into the final day if Beth Dana was a little more ballsy, a little more aggressive.
Yeah, that's definitely an excellent point as far as, you know, I guess I thought the whole point was to win it. And as far as fairness goes, I mean, that's kind of ridiculous to go, oh, you know, we don't want anybody's feelings to get hurt or something like that. So you play to win, and you put the best players and the best matching, and, you know, if you've got some players that have good chemistry, I can't see why you wouldn't want to keep them together. And, you know, like you said, they probably would have had this thing knocked off a lot earlier than they did.
Probably could have, yeah. Paula Creamer beat Suzanne Pettersson in singles 3-2. A decent week for Paula Creamer. It's tough to talk about these things because the Solheim Cup website is so poor, it doesn't list overall point totals, it doesn't list, you know, it's pretty bad. Paula Creamer was wins 3-2.
Yeah, just kind of a bizarre week or bizarre weekend, and when you'd find it on TV, it was fun to watch.
Angela Stanford wins 5-4 over Becky Brewerton, who was a standout and was making a lot of putts. Stanford seemed to get bad draws or drawn against hot players every other round, but walks away pretty easily and never leads or never trails in the match. Again, winning 5-4. Michelle Wee led by as many as 3 on the 7th hole. And 6th hole, before Helen Alfredson squared it up. Michelle Wee went back to 2 up, went back to 1 up at 17, and then held off easily on 18 to win 1 up. But again, 3-0-1 for the week. Is this Michelle Wee's, you don't want to say it's her coming out party? How much did her parents being sequestered away from the team have to do with everything? And what do you think this week means for her?
Well, I think it means a couple things. I think first off, getting her away from her parents is probably the best thing that's ever happened to her. Independent and being part of a team. I mean, it sounds, you know, from reading the various articles and stuff that there was good bonding, that, you know, the girls actually got to know Michelle Wee as opposed to this golfing robot or her parents or...
Yeah, Morgan Pressel was one of the more outspoken against Michelle Wee, and now they're BFFs or something. So
yeah,
I think that speaks volumes.
So, you know, getting her away from her parents, I think, is a good thing. I think... Hopefully for her, she sees that she can certainly golf better, more relaxed, enjoy it, enjoy the camaraderie, maybe develop some rivalries on tour without having them there. I don't know. I certainly think that physically she's got all the tools. Mentally, you know, that's always been a question mark. She puts the two together, she could be extremely dominant.
I think she took a big step mentally this week, though. She's working on her short game with Dave Stockton now. She was solid on putts from everywhere. No problems there. And, you know, her mental game stood up to it, I think. A little weak there with Morgan Pressel. They had a 2-up lead in 4 balls, I think, on Friday morning, going to 18. They failed to have either of those holes, so they had the match. So that was her half. But otherwise, I think mentally she was pretty strong, and her game was there all week. So who knows? She could get a win this year, unlike the U.S. President's or Ryder Cup teams. The LPGA still has, like, 8 events after this. So Brittany Lang kind of flew under the radar. She halved her singles match against Laura Davies, who was playing, like, garbage earlier in the week. Not much to say there. Julie Inkster played like garbage most of the week, somehow halved her match against Gladys Nocera with some good shots, but she was topping the ball, she was shanking the ball, she was playing pretty badly at various times throughout the week. And at 49, I don't know.
Best days are certainly behind her, but she definitely goes out on give her style points for going out with a win in the Solheim Cup.
Christy McPherson, the fiery former Big Break competitor, seemed to get bad partners and kind of ran into a buzzsaw, if you can call Katrina Mathieu a buzzsaw in singles, but she played well all week, Katrina Mathieu. So Christy McPherson, not too many points this week, but solid play all around. Didn't make many putts, though. Brittany Lipscomb wins 3-2 over Sophie Gustafson. Nicole Castrally, a bad week for Nicole, loses to Diana Luna, who plays on the LET Tour most of the time, so okay. I must say, Diana Luna has the worst, most awkward, limbs-flailing fist pumps I've ever seen.
That's not what you want to be known for.
No, everything's just arms and legs are going everywhere when it's bad. Christina Kim wins 2-up over Tani Ilosigi, a hard-fought match there. Christy Kerr halves her match with Maria Yorth. Christy Kerr, again, solid most of the week. Morgan Pressel beats Anna Nordqvist, who played perhaps the best, almost the best, maybe Katrina Mathieu beats her, on the European team. Again, Natalie Gulbis and Janice Moody, nobody was watching that match.
No.
What the last thing on the Solheim Cup, the face painting and the ribbons. Too much?
A little.
You don't see the guys doing
it. It's a little ridiculous. I don't know. I guess the whole face painting thing is something I guess you see at the state fair or something. I don't know. I thought it was kind of bizarre.
All right. Well, I'll go with it's a bit over the top, but you know, I'm not a girl and I don't claim to understand despite having a wife and a daughter. I can't really
That's
say.
That's just one of those things we'll never get as guys, apparently.
It made people talk, put it that way. The Europeans didn't do it. I'll also put it that way, too, or point that out. Ryan Moore wins the Wyndham Championship over a possibly choking Sergio Garcia, who just didn't have his game. He still shot even par, I believe, on Sunday, but wasn't really enough to get it done. Ryan Moore shoots a final round 565 and wins on the third playoff hole with what could have been 2 putts, but he made it for a birdie, so.
Yeah, hard to believe he's been on tour since 2005.
Yeah, it's his 5th year on tour. His first PGA Tour win. I think he was in a playoff against Mark Calcavecchia in like his first year or somewhere out there and lost. So this is his first PGA Tour win.
Yes, very nice. Got some FedEx points and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he played well, and congratulations on the first one. He's come close numerous times.
Yeah, Sergio Garcia, I'm pretty sure, was only playing because his FedEx Cup rank points were so low. He was like 112th or something. If you were looking for top 50 type players, I'm not sure you'd find too many. Ryan Moore was in a playoff with Kevin Stadler and Jason Bone, who fired a 8 in a round of 62 and then bowed out on the first hole with some bad bunker play. Not exactly top tier names there. Chris Riley was in the lead for a while.
No, it certainly is. I mean, the week before the FedEx Cup, this just isn't a very big tournament. You do get a few names, but if I'm willing to bet if Sergio was in the top 50, he's nowhere to be found.
A win's a win, though, and Ryan Moore perhaps a stepping stone to the greatness that was predicted for him several years ago. We'll be right back with 2 stories in our Beating Ball segment after this.
The most important shot is the one you're about to hit. A shot on Thursday is every bit as critical
as one on Sunday afternoon.
In competition,
one shot can be the difference.
The difference it takes to win.
That's why the ball you play makes a difference. So the question isn't, why do I play tightest?
But rather,
why would I play anything else?
Why would I play anything else?
Performance counts. Quality counts. Every shot counts. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
The Beating Ball segment this week is nice and short. And the first one we have is Tiger Woods is going to be playing next week. which I guess isn't a huge surprise. Maybe it is.
They shuffle the points, man. It's going to be all crazy. His, 12,000 point lead or whatever he has. 1,200 point lead. I mean, I think the playoff points in the playoffs are, like quintupled or something. So you never know. Maybe he wins the first two and then doesn't play the last two, but they have three in a row, have the week off and the tour championship, the President's Cup's in there somewhere. I have no idea. Tiger Woods might be playing a lot of golf to finish out.
Yeah. I mean, if you, definitely enjoy watching Tiger, I mean, you got to see him 3 weeks in a row, took this week off, and you may see him for, 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks, coming up here. So
he's turning into Vijay Singh. What's going on? It might also be that he wanted to check out Liberty National Golf Club, the site of this week's Barclays.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, new course. It's not at Westchester anymore, so, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, word on tour is Tiger did not like Westchester. Word on tour is also that there's not much, nobody really blames him for not liking Westchester.
But yeah, he'll be playing, which will be nice.
Like I said.
Which will be good, because you'll have to watch something other than the 9-hour rounds at the first round of the Solheim Cup took.
Yeah, if you set your DVR, you missed about
95% of the golf. Oh.
Yeah, because seriously, the Golf Channel was supposed to show the first round of the Wyndham Championship, or sorry, the second round, Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. The first four groups of four ball in the Solheim Cup didn't finish till 3:45, 3:50 on that day. An hour and 50 minutes after they were supposed to be done. We had, 5.5, 6 hour rounds of four ball, with four matches on the course. Foursomes, where they have two balls in play, went a little faster, but they were still 4 hour rounds.
Yeah.
You think the man have a slow play problem?
Wow.
This was astounding. This was just...
It was brutal. I mean, it was really, really brutal to have to, attempt to sit through this. And, you know, women's golf always seems to be a little slower, and this was like even beyond what they would normally do. So, this was insane.
Well, and I think a lot of it was that they never got to par, they rarely reached par fives. They were always laying up. Half the time, it seemed like they laid up into the water. You'd come back from commercial and you'd find out that such and such partner was all alone because their partner was in the water. And yet, that partner would still be playing out the hole because you never know, one of the ladies could shank with their chip shot or who knows what. So you still have to play out the hole. So you got someone playing for seven, while someone has a birdie putt on the same team or who knows. It was just ridiculous. Put the ball in your pocket. It doesn't help that their caddies have to line them up. It doesn't help that they need to be shuttled to back and forth between two or three of the holes. It was ridiculous. It was sad. I padded my recordings by 3 hours and barely caught everything.
Yeah, that's pretty bad when you have to end up doing that. It was pathetic, and I don't know. Where's the guy's name? The rules official who put Pat.
Yeah, John Paramore.
Yeah, where was he? We could have used him over the weekend. Got these ladies moving on.
He needed to be out there. I did notice that one of the walking officials for the groups was Tom Meeks. That's what he's doing these days. He's spending 6 hours watching four people walk around a golf course. Yeah. Well, we've kept this podcast to less than 6 hours, so. We hope you enjoy that. USA wins, but some people are bitter about it because of how they acted. I don't know. I still say we just need to get the Asians involved because then the U.S. team can get their butts kicked for, the next 15, 20 years. Let's see if they paint their faces after they lose 10 in a row.
Probably not. Hopefully it won't take 6 hours either.
They won't have to paint their faces. They'll have spike marks all over them. The Asians walking all over them.
Ouch.
Yeah, how do you like that one? We'll talk to you guys next week after the Barclays Championship.
Woohoo, go Tiger.